Deuteronomy chapter 31. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And Moses went and spoke these words unto all Israel. And he said unto them, I am 120 years old this day. Evidently, it was his birthday. He says, I can no more go out and come in. And it wasn't because of lack of physical strength, but because his ministry was now over. God had used him. He continues, also the Lord has said unto me, you shall not go over this Jordan, which was a real kick in the teeth to him. But one he had coming for not disobeying God, and he knows it. 3. The Lord your God will go, he will go over before you, and he will destroy these nations from before you, and you shall possess them. And Joshua, he shall go over before you, as the Lord has said. Joshua was sort of like Moses' apprentice for many years. And if ever a man was trained and prepared to take the place of another, it was Joshua. He was prepared to take Moses' place, even though those are huge shoes to fill. God would be with him, and that would be the key. Verse 4, and the Lord shall do unto them, the people of the promised land, as he did to Sihon and to Og, kings of the Amorites, and unto the land of them whom he destroyed. So they saw God at work in their victories over Sihon and Og. And that should help them to believe God for victory in the future. Verse 5. And the Lord shall give them up before your face, that you may do unto them according unto all the commandments which I have commanded you. It would be a great victory for Israel, but it won't be a very pretty sight. God would give them, the enemies, over to his people, and Israel was ordered by God to destroy them all. 6. Be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord your God, he it is who does go with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. And so they were not to give in to discouragement. Don't give it a foothold. And there was no need to be afraid. And that's because God was on their side, and he promised that he would not fail them. You know, often when God calls us to do something, discouragement sneaks in. And that's often followed by fear. It's in those times that we have to encourage ourselves in the Lord. We have to remember that God does not fail. And as long as we are walking with him, we won't fail either. Even if things don't go as we hoped, even if things don't go as we think best, God is still in control. God is still succeeding. And we stay close to him, we'll succeed according to his definition of success. Verse 7, and Moses called unto Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and you shall cause them to inherit it. Moses commands Joshua to be strong and courageous. God made a promise, and now Joshua, you lead Israel in and claim that promise. God's leaders must be people of faith today. I mean, they must latch on to the Word of God and to the promises of God and hold tight. If they'll do that, then strength and courage and fearlessness will fill their souls and are going to lead with power. Verse 8, and the Lord, he it is who does go before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you, neither forsake you. Fear not, neither be dismayed. Moses says, you're going to be right in the center of God's will, Joshua, so don't worry about it. You know, when we're in God's will, when there are no unconfessed sins in our life, then we have nothing to worry about. When we're not breaking his rules, we are right where he wants us to be. And he's in control of everything, and everything will be okay. Verse 9. And Moses wrote this law and delivered it unto the priests, the sons of Levi, which bore the ark of the covenant of the Lord, and unto all the elders of Israel. And here you have a reference to the written word of God. Moses is the person who God inspired to write the first five books of the Bible. Verse 10. And Moses commanded them, saying, at the end of every 7 years, in the solemnity of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles, when all Israel is come to appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, you shall read this law before all Israel in their hearing. The Feast of Tabernacles was one of the three major religious festivals that every adult male Israelite was obliged to attend every year. But every seventh year, the entire population was ordered to go to that feast. And that is because the Word of God was to be read at that time. Verse 12. Gather the people together, men and women and children, and your strangers that is within your gate, that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God, and observe to do all the words of this law, and that their children, which have not known anything, may hear and learn to fear the Lord your God, as long as you live in the land where you go over Jordan to possess it. Fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. That's what the Bible says. And godly fear is something that must be learned. And you learn it by getting into the Word of God. There's no other way. The Word of God is holy, and it is given straight. And when it is given straight, it'll burn in the heart of the listener. And that, in turn, will generate a holy fear of God. There's no other way of getting it. 14. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, the days approach that you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of the congregation, that I may give him a charge. And Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the Lord appeared in the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of the cloud stood over the door of the tabernacle. So this was the presence of the Lord. God says, Moses, the time has come for you to die. And God certainly would know about that, because someday God will say that about you. You know that? Fill in the blank. Your time has come. He knows. He knows the exact minute. 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, behold, you shall sleep with your fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, where they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant, which I have made with them. So God predicts that Israel is going to fail, which they did do. And if you think Moses was shocked and appalled at this, he was probably appalled, but he wasn't shocked. Believe me, he wasn't surprised. He knew these people. 17. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day, and I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them, and they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? Yeah, I don't think Moses enjoyed hearing this at all. But it was truth. And as I said, I don't think he was one bit surprised. Verse 18. And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. And it's true. Idolatry was the basic cause of the downfall of Israel. Verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. There's power in music. It has a way of permeating the soul and getting right down into a person's spirit. So if you listen to ungodly music, soon you're going to be thinking ungodly thoughts and doing ungodly things. If you listen to or sing songs that are saturated with the Word of God, then they'll feed your spirit and strengthen your faith. So God instructs Moses to write the words of this song. Verse 20. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swore unto their fathers, that flows with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves and waxed fat, then will they turn unto other gods and serve them and provoke me and break my covenant. It's true, prosperity often causes people to forsake the Lord. 21. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. For I know their imagination which they go about even now, before I have brought them into the land which I swore. This song is an expression of God's concern for his people. He wouldn't have to give them this song, but he will. And when they get in trouble, it'll show them how they got there, why they got there. And it'll show them the path to repentance and blessing as well. 22. Moses therefore wrote this song the same day and taught it to the children of Israel. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge, and said, be strong and of good courage, for you shall bring the children of Israel into the land which I swore unto them, and I will be with you. You know, Joshua no doubt heard about Israel's future rebellions and punishment. So he was taking hold of a real hornet's nest here by taking the lead. God still commanded him to go forward and lead the people. In other words, Joshua was to do his best right now, right today, to lead the people in righteousness in spite of their inevitable moral failure in the future. Really, the only thing that matters right now is right now. Live right now for God. Live right now for Jesus. 24. And it came to pass, when Moses had made an end of writing the words of this law in a book until they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites, which bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, take this book of the law and put it in the side of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there for a witness against you. A witness against you, so that there would be no excuse for their sin. 27. For I know your rebellion and your stiff neck. He certainly did. He experienced the brunt of that next to God. Behold, while I am yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord, and how much more after my death? It's going to get worse instead of better, that's for sure. Once they have, when they had strong leadership, they did all right. Boy, But as soon as they had weak leadership, they just went down the drain. 28, gather unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words in their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death, you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the work of your hands. And Moses spoke in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. Moses had 40 years of experience with these people. He knew them better than anyone. And if they were bad for the 40 years that he was with them, and they were, then they're going to be totally corrupt without Moses there to restrain them and to pray for them. And it certainly did come to pass. Although Joshua did a good job. Joshua did a real good job, as we will see in the next book.